You are listening to Rise Up Radio here on WBAI. It's 11:25. And, well, up next, we're going to discuss the role of art in resistance and activism. Kehan Irani is an artist, activist living and working here in New York City. Her one-woman show, We've Come Undone, is a series of monologues inspired by stories from the Arab American, Muslim, and South Asian communities. Using dance, drama, music, and multimedia, the piece explores the impact of recent legislation, including the Patriot Act, on these communities, currently experiencing the trauma of detention, disappearance, and deportation. She has performed the piece in many venues throughout New York, and she's currently touring the country, bringing the show to campuses and community groups. Kehan is also a practitioner of Theater of the Oppressed and co-facilitates workshops at the Riverside Church in Harlem. Welcome to Rise Up Radio.
Thanks for having me. I feel very special being here with the new snow of the season. So
yeah, welcome to winter.
Right.
Well, hopefully it'll be a winter full of art and activism and people inside doing creative things.
Indeed, hopefully.
Well, can you start out just by describing your show and how you came up with this concept and why?
I came up with this concept because I was doing a production and I was feeling that the role of art, especially the role of theater, was not being utilized to its fullest capabilities. I felt that the power of theater has such tremendous possibilities to move people, to inspire people, and to allow people to get an insight into other worlds that they may not necessarily have every day. And I kept hearing more about these detentions, these disappearances. And as I talked to people within the Indian community and other communities, I found that many people didn't know what they were. They had no idea what I was talking about. They had no idea what the special registrations were. And that frightened me, because it showed just how insidious this practice was, how it's going on underneath everyone's noses. And I would think that the communities that it would directly affect would be more interested or more aware of what was going on, and they weren't. And I just started to think about all the ramifications. Yes, these men get detained, they get deported, they're imprisoned, they're demonized, but what happens to their wives? What happens to their children? Their whole worlds, whole other galaxies at work here that are being shattered, being harmed. And, of course, our American, quote-unquote American communities that they live amongst, what are happening to them? How does a sane, normal person get turned into a monster or a hate monger because of legislation, because of policy? And I was really interested to see how that really breaks apart the fabric of our communities, people's lives, and I thought theater would be an effective way, and it's the way I know how to do it.
You use a series of different characters to tell these stories, all women, a young girl, an INS guard. How did you pull together the information that are included in these personal narratives, and also just why did you choose to tell some of the stories that you did?
I pulled them together through research, through interviews with caseworkers who do a lot of outreach to these communities, lots of research in magazines, newspapers, different articles, reading the laws themselves. And I wanted to show not just the perspective of Arab and Muslim and South Asian women, but also the perspective of American women. Because after all, it is everyday Americans who are confused, who are hurt, who are fearful. My first character, for example, her name is Diane. And she's a white American woman whose family goes back for generations in America, but her husband is Egyptian and now has to register. And she's being faced with all these problems for the first time, and she just doesn't know what to think. And I think a lot of people are in that situation, that they don't know what to think, and they don't have the right, or they don't have enough information on their fingertips to inform their views. So we get their views are informed by the press, the media, these snippets of information, these cliche titles, Win Their Hearts and Minds, etc. Part of the monologue of Diane is she's talking to this, she's talking to one of the customers in her store. That's her monologue. They own a thrift shop together. And she says, She says, you know, I used to talk to everyone that came into the store. I used to ask them how they felt about things that were going on, you know, current events, things in the community. But I stopped doing that, you know. We were vandalized. Our store was vandalized. And now I just don't want to be anti-American or something. And then she stops and thinks. And she says, anti-American? That's ridiculous. My whole family is American. I don't know how many generations. But you know what? It was meeting Tariq, my husband from Egypt, that really made me think about what that meant, about what being an American really means. And I felt so good. I felt so good for him about being an American. But now I just don't know. I don't know anymore. And I think that sums up a lot of the fears and the indecision that a lot of people are going through. They don't know what to think. And how are they going to know if they don't hear anyone else's perspective except the perspective that the media wants us to hear? And I thought a one-woman show that's easily movable, that can travel around and can get these different voices to the communities. I really hope to go to more conservative communities to bring these voices to them. Because I feel a lot of people just don't know what to think and are relying on their visceral experiences of fear, you know, fear, that pit in their stomach. Well, how do they respond to that? You know, they respond through anger, through hate.
So where are you performing? Where have you performed so far?
I've performed in Vassar College in upstate New York in Poughkeepsie. I've performed for the South Asian Bar Association in D.C. and in two different community venues in D.C., I've also performed in front of the National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum. I've been asked to come to Suffolk Law School in Boston in February, at the end of February. And I have different shows lined up. At the end of each show, in order to engage the audience more, I do some interactive theater, which you mentioned earlier about Theater of the Oppressed. And I have the audiences come up, the members of the audience come up, and make body images of their definitions of these ideological terms that are being thrown around, patriot, united, American, we, to really get an idea of who we are. What does we look like?
So what impact do you think the work has on the audience? What's the response that you've been getting?
The response I've been getting is people for the first time are able to collectively think about these issues and not in a confrontational, defensive way. They're not hearing a lecture that's either attacking their point of view or defending their point of view. They're having a dialogue through theater. They're being able to work within a group, see what other people think. What are other people's definitions of these terms? What do other people think? And their point of view, of course, is taken into consideration. And they're able to see how all these influences come to play and just how diverse and how strange these times really are. And I think it's comforting in a lot of ways to people to come to these shows. I think it really allows them to open up a different side of themselves.
Before we ask you a couple more questions, is it possible for you to do another excerpt? I'm curious to hear about the little girl's character.
Yeah, I have a little girl who has to move away from her home because her father has been detained. He was dragged out of the house, and her mother is fearful and is moving in with some family. And she's in the park, and she's saying goodbye to her favorite tree. And I don't know what part I'll do, but let me think about it. She's saying goodbye to her tree, and she's trying to tell the tree a little bit about what happened to her. And she says, you know, everything's different now since Papa was taken away. Nothing's the same. Mama stays at home all day. She never goes outside anymore. And she makes me stay home with her. I don't understand why this happened to us. Why are people frightened of other people? You know Elizabeth? She was my best friend. But I told her what happened to Papa, and her mother won't let her play with me anymore. They took Papa away, but we are not bad people. And then she goes on to describe an experience she had the week before with her best friend, Elizabeth. And she says, Elizabeth's favorite flavor is vanilla ice cream, too. That's my favorite. Last week, I was at the ice cream truck, and I got the same kind of cone she did. And I said, see, Elizabeth, look, we still like the same flavor. we can still be best friends. And then Elizabeth looked at me and she said, it doesn't matter because terrorists live in the desert and they don't eat ice cream. She made me so mad when she said that. So it just speaks to the experiences all around, all these different ripples that are happening within our world, within our community, that don't really get heard, don't really get talked about. A small child getting harassed at school, losing her friends, what does that foster? What does she grow up to be? Who does she grow up to then hate? It's not healthy to have those points of views.
Yeah. Thank you. So we do have to wrap up in the next minute or so, but okay. I just want to ask you how you, again, see your role as an artist responding to the rhetoric of fear and the war on terrorism a year after, more than a year after the Patriot Act passed through Congress and the way it's been treated in the media, how you deal with that as an artist and respond and see yourself moving forward.
Yeah, I consider myself a healer of humanity. Again, very often these laws are meant to polarize people, to make the other out of everyone. And I don't think it's healthy. I think arts can really bring people together because we're able to draw people into another world and say, come with us, come on a journey, come and look at it from this perspective. And people can now empathize with these characters that they usually maybe wouldn't, seeing on the street. They would automatically have a whole world of assumptions and judgments. And they no longer are able to once they hear their stories, and not only just hear them, feel what they are feeling too. And I think it's through feeling, through emotion, and through love that we can conquer all of this.
So if people in the New York City area, or even larger, because we have listeners from everywhere, want to find out where you're performing and come and see you, how can they find that out?
I'm part of an artists collective called The House That We Built, and their website is www.thehousethatwebuilt.com. And if you go into the theater section, there will be information on me and how to get in touch with me and how to see the shows or book the shows or book Theater of the Oppressed workshops.
Can you say that website one more time?
It is. It's www.thehousethatwebuilt, all one word, .com. And it's the theater section.
Kehana Rani, artist and activist living in New York City, thanks so much for joining us
on
Rise Up Radio.
Thank you for sharing.
Peace.